Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. In 2018, the New York State Legislature passed a law, and it was signed into law by the governor, requiring that nurses who graduated with a diploma or associate degree in nursing get a baccalaureate degree within 10 years of becoming licensed in the state if they want to continue to practice as a registered nurse. Well, that was 2018, and the first group that will be affected by this was the 2020 group of nurses licensed in the state in that year. And so in 2030, this law will apply to them. And the New York State Education Department recently issued regulations to implement this law, and the regulations were approved by the Board of Regents. Here to talk with us about this law and the regulations and why the public should care about this is Ann Harrington, the Executive Director of the New York Organization of Nurse Leaders, also known as NIONL. Thank you so much for joining me again on Health Cetera in the Catskills, Ann.
It's a pleasure to be back with you, Diana. Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored.
Well, we're delighted to have you back. So tell us about this law that was passed in 2018. It was pretty significant.
It was, and it remains the only state law of its kind in the country, which we're sort of proud of, but kind of disappointed in. It's a law, as Diana said, that does require first-time licensed registered nurses in New York State who do not have a baccalaureate degree to obtain either a baccalaureate degree or higher nursing degree within 10 years of initial licensure. The law came with exceptions so that review them. Anybody who was already practicing in New York State, licensed and already practicing, anyone who was in nursing school, anyone who was accepted into nursing school, and anyone who was on a wait list for a nursing program were all accepted from the law. So it would just be newly graduated nurses. The law passed actually at the end of 17, but Governor Cuomo wrote two chapter amendments into it, and that's what delayed it until 2018. Chapter amendments had to do with establishing a commission to study the impact of the law. There was a lot of concern about the burden that getting a baccalaureate degree in 10 years would place on newly licensed nurses, given the financial burden and the burden of being maybe the major breadwinner, raising a family, whatever. So there was great concern about that. And he established this commission to study the long-term impact. And then the second chapter amendment had to do with building in another exception, that being if you were trying to get a baccalaureate degree and you were turned down from admission to nursing school twice, you could get an exception from the 10-year rule. So chapter amendment was passed in early 18, and it was the effective date was 18 months after the passage of that. And so that's where, as Diana said, the effective date for initial licensure became June of 2020.
So tell us about nursing really pushed for this law. Tell us why.
The whole point of the law was to create a more highly educated nursing workforce in New York State. And the rationale for the work on the law was based largely on Dr. Linda Aiken's work, her seminal study in 2003, which proved that patients who were cared for by baccalaureate-prepared nurses had better outcomes. And better outcomes not only help the health of the population, but also they became important to the financial health of a healthcare provider organization. So, but basically it was to better serve the residents of New York State by making healthier population. And it took us 13 years to get it there, but we got it there.
Yeah, so I just want to underscore this, that the research has shown that those nurses with baccalaureate and higher degrees have a lower rate of complications, and including of death of patients that they're caring for. And it doesn't mean that if you have a nurse who has an associate degree that they're not a good nurse. They likely are. But when you put into an institution a proportion, a lower proportion of nurses with baccalaureate degrees, you don't get the same outcomes. So it's not, again, to disparage our colleagues who have associate degree. I think associate degree education. Actually, Anne, I tell people nursing has the best career ladder of any profession. You can get the associate degree within 2 years, sometimes a little bit more, get a job as an RN, and then continue your education. And these days, that education can be online. I know SUNY Delhi, State University of New York at Delhi, has long had what's called the RN track for nurses going after that baccalaureate degree, and it's been an online program and done very well. And I think since this law passed, most programs now, don't they have programs, have tracks for nurses that are online, online programs for nurses to pursue that baccalaureate degree. Is that your understanding?
Oh, yes. When I think back to the days when the law was passed, there was a great deal of concern, and I will say, especially on the part of the unions, thinking that their members would have a hardship in getting this degree in 10 years. But the proliferation of completion programs now is amazing. They're everywhere, they're online, and they're very reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. So that's been a huge change since 2017.
So the New York State Department of Education issued the regulations that will implement this law, and those were approved by the Board of Regents. Were there any surprises in those regulations?
No. The regulations pretty much restated the exemptions that are built in the law, which I already talked about. What the regulations did do was the language of the law says that a licensee needs to get a baccalaureate or higher nursing degree or degree in nursing in the 10 years. What the regulation did was it specifies the degrees. So Bachelor of Science, Bachelor of Nursing, and I don't have them in front of me, but Master's in Nursing, Master's in Science, et cetera, DNP, PhD. So they listed out the programs. That's the only difference in the regs. And then the other thing that the regs addressed that was not addressed in the law was whether there would be an exemption for nurses in rural areas, the concern being lack of nursing schools in some rural areas. But again, the regulations did not make exceptions for rural areas, and I think it's based on what I said. There's been such a proliferation of program availability that now people can get their degrees online.
So one question someone asked me was whether the baccalaureate degree needs to be in nursing. Could it be in healthcare administration and still meet the requirement?
It's actually in nursing.
In nursing.
And the language in the law says bachelor's or higher in nursing.
Okay. So what do you see as some of the challenges moving forward with implementation of this law?
You know, I think if you stated what a nice career pathway nursing has. If a nurse is satisfied with being associates prepared and has no intent to go beyond that level of education, we would lose that nurse to practice in the state. The bill might deter that a like-minded nurse like that. I don't, you know, when I think of the nature of the law, make a more effective and highly educated workforce that's going to get better outcomes. I don't see that people will not want to participate, other than if there's by some level.
Yes, that plus, I think for all health professionals, there is this commitment to continuing education. So in some states, there are mandated continuing education requirements. I don't think we're quite there yet, but we may get there at some point. But I just had a colleague who was renewing her license in a state, and she did a chapter in my book, and there's a new edition coming out, and she wants to use that chapter to satisfy one of her continuing education requirements. And so when you think about that and the fact that, you know, we embrace lifelong learning, why mm-hmm. would you not want to then you do some of that lifelong learning by having it result in a baccalaureate degree that is going to guarantee your job, or at least guarantee that you can stay as a practicing nurse in New York State, as you said.
Agreed. And, you know, interesting, from my own professional practice, I worked in a hospital for almost 40 years, and that hospital had its own nursing school. And there were many graduates of that nursing school who were working there. And when this bill this law came out, you would have thought there would have been, like, a hue and cry. And actually what it did was it drove some of them to go back to school and get their bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are the executive director of the New York Organization of Nurse Leaders, and this is the organization in particular that chief nurse officers and directors of nursing in healthcare organizations participate in. This is their professional organization of sorts. And so are you hearing from your members about this law, and what are they saying about it? Do they have concerns that it's going to exacerbate the nursing shortage that we're all dealing with?
No, and I will tell you two things to kind of highlight that point. From prior to the time that the law was passed and since, many healthcare provider organizations, hospitals, long-term care, mostly hospitals, let's just hold it at hospitals for this particular discussion, require that new graduates get a baccalaureate or higher degree in 5 years from the time of hire. So their requirement is even tighter than the 10. Now, with COVID and with the shortage and with the financial pressure on hospitals, they may have softened that requirement a bit, but the other side of that is that professional recognition programs like the Magnet program, which is nurse excellence, also promote baccalaureate-prepared nurses. And one of their measures of success in the Magnet program in particular is the percent of baccalaureate-prepared nurses. And as Magnet hospitals go on for continued certification, they measure the increase in baccalaureate-prepared nurses in that organization as a criteria for moving forward and being recertified.
And let me just remind listeners, a couple weeks ago I interviewed Christine I'm going to forget her last name. She heads up the Journey to Excellence for the American Nurses Credentialing Center. And that program, the Journey to Excellence program, is about creating supportive, positive work environments for nurses and other healthcare workers. But we also talked about the Magnet program. The Magnet program is the program that the American Nurses Credentialing Center operates. It's a designation of hospitals that have excellence in recruiting and retaining highly qualified nursing staff. So, and you just mentioned that Magnet hospitals have to have a certain minimum percentage of their nurses who are baccalaureate prepared.
They have to show an increase as they go further for post or successive certifications.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And this is really significant for our community because I also mentioned on that program a few weeks ago that Westchester Medical Center, Westchester Medical Health, WMC Health, the health system that Margaville Hospital is in, it's part of Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley, and that is part of WMC Health. And WMC Health, the nursing department, has made the commitment to go on the journey to become magnet recognized, and that all of its hospitals, you have to do it hospital by hospital. And so Margaville Hospital at some point will be pursuing that. And so talking about these magnet hospitals and some of the requirements of nursing staff, like with this law that if you're going to have an adequate nursing workforce, you're going to need to support nurses who are new to the profession, if they don't already have their baccalaureate degree in nursing, going after that baccalaureate degree. I also wanted to ask you about, so what do you tell new nurses who are coming out or in school and are going to graduate by 2020 when this clock starts ticking?
Well, I think you hit on it before. We need to strive to continue to become better and better at what we do and become more effective as practitioners of nursing. And in order to do that, we need to continually educate and improve our knowledge base and keep up with new practices and do what we can to be the best we can to make our patients as safe and healthy as we can. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's not something that's foreign to, it's not something that's specific to nursing. If you look around at the world of professions,
yes.
There's continuing education, there's continuing certification and progression that just is part of growth in the profession.
Yeah, and I would tell those graduating in 2020, do not wait for long before you start that journey for that baccalaureate degree. And most healthcare organizations have some kind of tuition reimbursement, so that's really another thing that you can take advantage of. And when you look at programs like SUNY Delhi, that's long been online, and they've got a really good track record with online education, you know, you've got some really good programs around to choose from, and you don't have to travel, et cetera. So not for the everyday classes. So, yeah, go ahead.
There's a number of tuition assistance programs, scholarships. There's free tuition at SUNY and CUNY in New York State. Mm-hmm. The Patricia McGee Scholarship through New York State. That, like, there are options for nurses to pursue a higher degree.
Great. Now, I want to take this moment while I have you here to talk about another issue that has just come onto the radar screen of all of us nurses. It was action by the Department of Education that was driven by what was in the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill Act, H.R. 1, that Congress passed last summer. And in that bill, it called for capping federal loans that would be available for professionals in graduate education, $200,000 for a lifetime limit if you're in a designated quote-unquote profession, and $100,000 limit if you're pursuing a graduate degree in a field that is not been declared to be a profession. In the proposed rule that the Department of Education put forth in writing the regulations surrounding these two tiers, they did not include nursing in the higher tier. They said that essentially it was not a profession. Social workers, physical therapists, occupational therapists were also not included as professions, which meant that all of these disciplines would only have the $100,000 federal loan limit, which is a lower cost loan for people pursuing education, and in this case, graduate education. And so that when that proposed rule came out, Once it was posted in the Federal Register, there was a comment period, as there always is, a public comment period. And I believe thousands of other people wrote in saying that this is not okay. You need to have nursing and these other professions treated as the professions that they are. Now, the Department of Education said that it was basing this decision on a 1964 Health Education Act that actually disciplines that were designated as professions. But in fact, if you read the law, which I did, it says examples of professions include but are not limited to. And of course, they pulled out the traditional male professions of the day, 1964, like medicine, dentistry, veterinary, osteopathy, etc. So we were looking for them to change the final rule, and of course they did not. That final rule came out, and nursing and these other disciplines were not there. So what are you hearing from your colleagues about their reactions to this action, this final rule by the Department of Education?
Well, as you said, there was a huge influx of or outflux of commentary, both from individuals and from nursing groups and organizations and coalitions during the comment period and since. And it went so far as the professional organizations such as AONL, which is our national organization, actually requesting that individuals entering commentary use specific language so that there was unified commentary among nurses. And the language was the organization strongly recommends the RISE committee explicitly include post-baccalaureate nursing programs as outlined under health professions and related clinical science series of classifications of instructional programs code XYZ in the regulatory definition of professional degree programs. So we embarked on all of that, and then they didn't respond, and I think that it's interesting that there was no response, and then they issued the final rule. Since then, as I said, there are organizations that are still issuing commentary, but there's two things going on at the federal level that I wanted to mention. One is a letter by Senator Merkley, mm-hmm. asking his congressional colleagues to sign on to a letter that does the same thing and encourages the RISE Committee and the DOE to change the list of professions to include nursing. And there is a new bill that just came out, and I honestly can't remember who the member is that introduces the bill, but that bill actually would require amendment to these regulations that would include nursing in the list of professional degrees. So those are the two things nationally that I know of that are going on. And I'm actually going to participate in AONL Advocacy Day in a few weeks, and we will be taking our feelings forward about this, even though the regulations are final.
And that bill number is H.R. 8691, H.R. for House of Representatives, 8691. I've already written to Congressman Josh Riley asking him to become a co-sponsor of this bill. Why should the public care about this, Ann?
Why should the public? Well, there's a case nobody's heard. There's a nursing shortage. We need to support nurses to get their post-baccalaureate degrees because it will help better serve the public. And my mantra is always nurses as providers will willingly go to underserved areas where some of our other providers don't want to go. And the more nurse providers we have, the better the health care in America is going to be. And we need to support nurses to get to the provider state by supporting their education and bringing primary care and all kinds of other specialty care to the public that we serve. There's just no reason why nursing shouldn't be on and even playing with these other
That's right. And in some cases, so nurse practitioners, master's degree, but in some cases it's a doctoral degree, doctor of nursing practice, and they are providing the bulk of primary care, particularly in rural areas. And we should point out this also applies to certified nurse anesthetists who provide the bulk of anesthesia care in the whole country. So you're talking about if you don't make education accessible and affordable, and this would put it out of reach for some people, then you're not going to have the workforce that you need to provide the care you need and want. So if people want to learn more about these issues or about NIONL, how would they do so?
Well, if one just Googles NIONL, one comes to our website. There is an advocacy tab on the homepage, which provides access to all of our current and past policy and legislative statements. And so our commentary is there as well. And if anyone wants additional information or wants to speak to somebody in our organization about this or any other legislative or policy issues, if you simply click on Contact Us and fill that out, it comes to me, and I will reply within 12 to 24 hours.
And that is Ann Harrington, the Executive Director of the New York Organization of Nurse Leaders, also known as NIONL, N-Y-O-N-L. You can Google it. Thank you so much, Ann, for coming on to Health Center and the Catskills today.
And a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Diana. Be well.
All right.